Job, young Gary. A talking newspaper. Very nice. A privilege. And can I say how tattifalarious it is to be back in the Midlands?
Now, can you tell me how you got started in show business?
Well, me? Oh, a long time ago, Gary. Long time ago, when you were just a twinkle in your granddad's eye. I started in... I started as a little lad. I was one of those little boys who used to read The Wizard and The Hotspur and The Rover. Some people listening will know what I'm talking about. And in these magazines, as well as being all the adventure stories for boys, they had these adverts in the back, you know, about for stink bombs and itching powder and all the other things that kids like, school lads, like sea bacroscopes and all conjuring tricks. And I saw this advert one day. It said, "Fool your teachers, amaze your friends, send sixpence in stamps, become a ventriloquist." So I did, didn't I?
Yes.
See, he'll tell you. And I started doing shows, a couple of shows. My very first show was at St Edward's Orphanage, in about a mile from where I live, well, half a mile from where I live in Notty Ash, on a Christmas day. Oh, when would it be? Well, in the 40s, early 40s. I was 12, I think, 12 or 13. And then, for that, the Father Superior gave me half a crown. Then my next show was about 3 months later at our school, where school parent-teachers dance, and they did a show there, and the headmaster gave me a shilling. So right away I learned a very important lesson in show business, how to take a cut gracefully. Mm. Then I started playing anything, like Boy Scouts, old age pensions, anywhere where they'll have me, I did a show. My mother used to say to me, "I don't care what you do, Kenny, as long as you wear a clean shirt." And then I started doing clubs, working men clubs, and worked my way round the clubs and the smoking concerts and stuff like that. And then my very first professional variety show was at the Nottingham Empire on September the 27th, 1954. So it was 1954 I turned pro, and I toured all the theatres all over the country. In Nottingham and Leeds and Sunderland and Newcastle and right up to the House of Terror, Glasgow Empire, and then all down to Birmingham Hip and way down to Bournemouth and Brighton, and you know, you name it, I played more or less every theatre open in those days.
Do you prefer doing one night stands, or do you prefer say pantomime, you know, a longer session at a particular town?
Well, you see, Gary, the whole pattern of show business has changed now. When I turned professional in 1954, you did weeks. You did a week at Nottingham, you did a week at Sunderland, you did a week at Leeds. But those theatres have gone now, and so there are probably more theatres now than there were in those days, in 1954-55, because every town, every city worthy of its salt or gritting has its own civic theatre. Yes. And they're not all as beautiful as this Wolverhampton Grand, believe me. Some of them are all formica and plastic, but nevertheless, they're civic theatres and civic halls and leisure centres, and they're all places that can take a show. So there are probably more venues now than there were in those days, but now it is a one-night stand situation. You know, one night's all they can stand. One night is all you can get an audience for one attraction.
Yeah. Now, you're famous for the Didi Men, you know, the world-famous Didi Men. Was this your idea?
Yes, it was my idea, my creation, but at least I found the Didi Men, because they were necessary, they were wanted. They would say necessity is the mother of invention. I started off playing theatres, and then all of a sudden, after playing all the various variety theatres and musicals, I suddenly discovered a new audience, because I played Summer Season and Pantomime, and that is the family audience, where mums and dads come with their children and their aunties and their grannies and their granddads. So I wanted to broaden the appeal and play to family audience, so I had to invent or find a point of communication between myself and children. And, of course, the Didi Men were there because they were based on my little Uncle Jack, who was a Didi Man himself. So the Didi Men, and I think the first time we used the Didi Men in pantomime was in the Midlands. We had them, the people who portrayed them was the Betty Fox Babes at Birmingham Hippodrome in 1965.
Yes, the famous Betty Fox Babes.
Yeah, that's right, they were the first ones.
Yeah. Are they the same troupe, you know, all the time, or do you take
local?
Well,
yes and no, we have a pool of about 100 children, and they all take it in turns to be on the stage as Diddy Men, because they're only allowed by the Education Committee, only allow them to work about 40 times a year, 40 performances, and then they have to work certain hours, you know. So we use, now the troupe we've used tonight, we probably won't use again now for about another 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, if we need Diddy Men, we'll use another troupe.
Yeah. Is there such a place as Knotty Ash, you know?
Oh, indeed there is, Gary, indeed there is, Knotty Ash. It's K-N-O-T-T-Y-A-S-H, Knotty Ash. It was a little village about 5 miles east of Liverpool. It still has a village atmosphere,
yes.
But it's really part of the greater Liverpool now, yeah.
Yeah. Is it difficult to combine, you know, comedy with singing?
Well, a lot of people in the Midlands particularly, they like singing comedians.
Yes.
They like comedians who finish off their act or during the act sing a sort of a tearful earful. They like singers in the Midlands.
Yes.
You'd think really the place where comedians or singers would go best would be, say, South Wales, but they've got so many good singers of their own down there that you have to be pretty good to sing in South Wales. But the Midlands love a comedian who does all his acts, by Jove, and all the nonsense, and then finishes up with a good song.
Yes, because you've had many songs over the years, and probably your trademark is the song Happiness.
Oh yes, I've been very lucky. I have some beautiful songs to sing. Tears, Happiness, Broken Hearted, Pianissimo, More Than Love, Think of Me Wherever You Are. I've had some Still, 8x10. I've had about 30 songs that have gone into the top 20. And Tears, well, that was a biggie. That did 2 million. And Happiness has done over 1 million.
Yeah.
So, but my favourite is Happiness, you're quite right, because that's the song. I think the words are beautiful. Happiness, happiness, the greatest gift that we possess. I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more than my share of happiness. Yes, I think it's a great song.
Yes, I remember that you recorded a song called Hold My Hand. Was that a special...
That was a song. It was written by the same Michael Coleman who wrote Matchstalk Men and Matchstalk Cats and Dogs.
Yeah.
He wrote this song called Hold My Hand, and it has a very good message, you know, about we must all be, you know, must all love each other, no matter what colour we are, whether we're red, white and blue, green or whatever,
That's
brown or whatever. And it's a great song, a lovely melody. And the kids, we dress the children up in different, we have them all as different costumes of different ethnic groups, you know. Everybody from Chinese to German and French and even Arabs, we have them all dressed up in different costumes, and the message going across to the audience is that it's a bit like the United Nations, you know.
I know, yes.
Which is very appropriate, I think, particularly for Midlands, because you have, all, like we have in Liverpool, Liverpool is a very cosmopolitan place. We had a Chinese community in Liverpool for the last 100 years via the sailors, you know, the Navy.
Mm.
Well, here in the Midlands, you've got a tremendous population of all different colours, haven't you?
That's right.
And we've got to learn to live with each other in peace and harmony.
Yeah. Now, coming on to the Royal Variety shows, are they the highlights, you know, of your career?
Oh no! The highlight of my career was playing the Wolverhampton Grand tonight.
Yeah.
It's always the show you're doing at the moment is your highlight. And I had some wonderful evenings here at the Wolverhampton Grand, and Blackpool Opera House, and Coventry Hippodrome, and Birmingham Hippodrome, and the Alexandra, all these lovely theatres, and that little one, the Palace Redditch, that's a lovely little theatre. So no, every show's a highlight. I've done about 15 shows where there's been royalty there. They're very nerve-wracking because everybody's nervous. But I've done shows for the private Christmas family party at Windsor Castle, and as I say, they're always very nerve-wracking, but very enjoyable.
Yeah.
But the greatest show of my life will be the one that I've done tonight here at the Wolverhampton Grand. It's a grand audience, marvellous chuckle muscles, everybody... You know, it's a beautiful theatre. This is a what they call a Frank Matcham theatre. He was the greatest theatre architect of all time, and he's built here a beautiful example of what a theatre really should look like and sound like. It is an absolute jewel in the crown of British theatres. The Wolverhampton Grand is probably one of the most beautiful theatres in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's only about half a dozen, but this is certainly one of them.
And as I say, it I suppose it dates back to, like, Leeds and that.
Well, it doesn't go back as far as the City of Varieties. No, this will probably be the turn of the century, about 1900 and something, or probably 1910, 1920, something like that. But it is a beautiful theatre, believe me.
I understand that you are the holder of the marathon non-stop joke-telling record. Can you tell us a bit about this?
Well, I once did a show at a place called a theatre in Liverpool called the Royal Court Theatre, and I'd already done about three or four shows there, and I wanted to get the press some publicity, because, you know, they're very important to get the press, and I had to think up a new idea, because they just saying, oh, well, Ken Dodd's going to play the Royal Court Theatre, but they say, oh, yeah, very, very interesting, I'm sure. So we had to think up some new bait to hook them and get them down there to the theatre to mention it in their newspapers and to put photographs. So I said, I thought to myself, I know, I'll invent the world's joke telling marathon. The record. There never was a fuzz. I know there never was a record. But I said, yes, I'm going to break the world's record. And they said, are you? Yes. Well, how long? Oh, I don't know what the record stands at the moment, but I'm going to break it. So I went along there and I did three and three quarter hours, I think, of gags. And I packed it up because the audience were getting tired, not me.
Have you had any funny moments, you know, during your show business career?
Well, you mean like getting locked in the Grand Theatre, Wolverhampton, when you're talking to this fellow at the talking newspaper?
Yeah, that's right.
No, I've been locked in various theatres, and I think all show business is very, 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 very funny and very, very. We're very, very lucky people to be able to earn a living doing something we absolutely think is marvellous, wonderful. Yeah. It's a very, very. It's a great happiness business, show business.
Yeah. And what about on stage? Have you had any funny moments on stage?
Oh, I've had all sorts of people heckling and all sorts of people shouting things out and strange people walking up on the stage and with you and, oh, I always think, but you take them all in your stride.
And I think the object is to try and get out of it, isn't it?
If you can, yes.
Well, thank you, Ken, for taking the time to.
I'd like to thank you too, Gary, for letting me be on your programme and such an exotic person as yourself. I mean, here I am dressed in just ordinary brown trousers and boots and my fur alpaca. And there's you. Look at the state of it. I mean, how are you going? I mean, orange pants and what have you got here? Purple socks, yellow shoes. This tartan jacket here of yellow and green and red, and then this your beautiful punk hairstyle here. I think you're, and how many earrings have you got on there? Oh, that's six on one ear there. Oh, Gary, I think you're a very colourful personality. You may have overdone it, though, a bit, I think.
Okay.
And are you not going home last dress I've got, are you?
Yes, yeah. I'll walk down the road like it, yes.
I think you're on a bike. You'll get thrown. Anyway, thanks very much, Gary, for letting me be on your programme. And to all your listeners, thank you very much, folks, for listening to all this rubbish. And he isn't really dressed like that. He's a very, very nice and very normal young man. Thank you very much, Gary. By Joe, folks, how tatty-filarious, how discombobulating, how full of plumptiousness I feel. This is Ken Dodd speaking to you from Knotty Ash, wishing everyone a very, very happy Easter. A happy Easter, everybody. Peace, happiness and good health. And I hope you all have a lovely Easter, egg rolling or whatever it is you're doing. So enjoy yourself, folks. Spring is here. Boing, 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 boing. By Jove. Boys and girls, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, can I wish everyone listening a very, very happy Ticklemas. A happy Ticklemas, a happy Christmas to everybody. A Merry Christmas and a very happy, peaceful and healthy New Year. I'll say it again. Actually, it's good stuff, this port. A very happy Ticklemas and a very healthy and prosperous New Year here in 1992. From all of us, from the Diddy Men and Ken Dodd of Knotty Ash, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. God bless us, everyone.
Thank you very much, Ken, for taking the time to speak to us.
Thank you, Gary.